Did you find being a woman in the industry that you had to prove yourself more?
I think probably early on. I think that was as much to do with the fact that I was very young when I started. So I was only 22. And I think there was a sort of assumption that, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And to be honest, when I was starting out, I didn't know what I was doing. I was brand new. So it was a quite reasonable thing to assume. For the first sort of 8 years of my career, I worked with the same pretty much group of people. So by the time I actually got the experience, it didn't really come into it that I was a woman. So I feel that in lots of ways I skipped that. I know that that's not the case for everybody. And I know that if you do slip up as a woman, you are open to accusations of she doesn't know what she's talking about because she's a woman. Or you're more open to people saying she made a mistake because she doesn't know what she's talking about rather than it's a one-off mistake. I think that still happens. I think it's now increasingly common to have women talking about sports. So we're getting to a stage, it is getting there, that it's unremarkable to be a woman in sport.
Is there any advice you specifically give to women who want to get into sport radio?
Don't think about yourself as a woman in sport. Do your job. I think very carefully about what you may perceive as sexism. If you think about it, you think, is there another way, is there another prism I can view this behaviour through? It might just be that somebody is horrible, full stop. It might just be that they're rude and unhelpful. It might just be that they're patronising anyway. If you do think it's because you're a woman, then it's very hard to know what to do because it depends on what position that person's in. I mean, it depends on your personality. Some of them call them out. For example, with people in work, if it's friends of mine and you're messing about and they're like, all right, love, go make a cup of tea. And if it's a friend, it's funny because they're saying it and it's irony and because they don't think of you that way. If somebody else were to say it, I don't know. I would have to come back with something. I find the best way to deal with things is with humour. It might not be how you feel, but you will feel better about it afterwards because you won't have to live with the anger of fighting that battle. It's really hard. I'm really not saying don't fight these battles. I'm just saying fight them in a way that works best for you.
What are the main differences you have found producing sport content for both TV and radio?
Radio is much less structured. There is structure to it, but if you want to go off topic or if something grabs your interest, there is much more flexibility within it. Television, Your time constraints are so different. Your pictures are cut and ready to go. The technical issues behind it are much more complex. And so you have to pretty much keep to what you've arranged to do beforehand. Whereas with radio, there's so much more freedom. I also find that guests will talk better on radio than they will on television. There's just that one thing less to be self-conscious about. They're not thinking about how they look. They're not thinking about pulling silly faces. They can, if they've got notes, they can look at them comfortably. They don't feel like they have to pretend. I think you get better answers from people on radio.
Is that why you pursued your career now in radio?
606 came up and I love working in radio. It's my favourite part of my job. And I didn't know how much I would love it until I started doing 606. I'd done a little bit of radio before. I'd done a bit of Talk Sport. I'd previously done a bit of Five Live. But it wasn't until I got that real run at it and got a chance to settle into it and get used to the rhythm of it that I realised how much I love it. The times I come home from work and go, oh, it's such a great day at work, mostly they're radio days.